This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Grace is being showered upon this nation, Lord. And how many unknowingly is not even experiencing your grace, Lord. But Father, this morning I pray that you will make us aware of your grace more and more daily, Lord. How many times we remember, Lord, the days that we were not following you, Lord, but your grace was covering us. For a day that we could say, yes, Lord Jesus. Oh, Father, thank you. I pray your name over this church, Lord, continuously, over every person standing here this morning. Stir the heart of every believer here this morning, Lord. Oh, that we will be willing to go, Lord, to every place that you send us, Lord. Not grudgingly, but willingly this morning, Lord. Because of our Father's love. Amen. 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 Thank you so much. Well, good morning again from my side. It's my first time in your new venue, and congratulations on the move. It's so central. It's the same as in Walvis Bay. You can't miss that. And I said to JP, when that moved, ironically, it happened at exactly the same time, the beginning of this year. Both churches moved to a very central location. And yesterday, as we came in, my oldest were with me, and I didn't tell her about the church where it is. So when we stopped there at that crossing there, and she said, oh, Shofar. So it's so visible, people can't miss it, you know. So just based on the location, what a blessing it is that God opens up a spot right in the center of town so that we were there. And I think, you know, it's important that we use that opportunity, that God would place us in the middle of. And I see this in Walvis Bay as well. We've seen people just walking into. Some people say to us, oh, I see Shofar is open in Walvis now. I said, no, they were there for a while now. So amazing that God literally puts you there on the spot and says, you're on display now. But I don't want to use the word perform, but you got to man up. Okay, because it's almost like God is saying, listen, I'm going to give you a boost, but you must be ready when the people come in. And I wanna encourage you people, let's keep our hearts open towards people, to the lost, to every person that walks into that place. Every person that walks through that door. I always say this to people. Every single person that's walking through the doors down there is a gift from God. See them as a gift from God. Treasure them. Ask yourself, why is this person here this morning? Why did he come here this morning? God, you're sending us somebody, and it's for us to figure that out. In cooperation with the Holy Spirit. So I'm trusting the Lord that this change of, almost want to say, season as well, that we will all benefit from that, especially the kingdom of God. Not just for us as a church, just to have a nice venue, but that the kingdom would grow out of that. Amen. And I pray that God will stir up our hearts this morning. Well, I'm not going to say too much about what's happening in Swakop. All of you know that we are busy building there, so that's been in the talk for a while now. Just maybe to testify, we are about 80% through our project at the moment on phase one. So hopefully in the next 3 months, we will be able to start using our new building. But then we'll still have our children's church facilities, which we have to walk in faith. But the Lord has been so good to us. And you know, when you walk in faith, you know, you can testify about the miracle, but you're right in the middle of this, and we're still in the last 20%. So we still have to trust God for that last 20% where we walk. And, you know, so we just stay there, down there, and say, God, help us. So that but up to now, we can look back and say, God, you've brought us this far. So we're so grateful. And we've just been maybe a little bit more up in the north last week. Obviously, very beautiful up there in Rundu. We've had a fellowship group there. And when we got involved with One Hope 2 years before, we started partnering with them. Many of you, I don't know if you know about One Hope, a children's ministry that's across almost 200 nations of the world. And we decided 2 years ago that the Lord is leading us to partner with this ministry to bring this into Namibia to reach the next generation. So they design literally products and tools, give it to the church, to the schools, etc., so that they can reach the next generation. And we knew that God was saying to us, be the catalyst, be that first seed, but it should be bigger than just Shofar. And then Shofar Namibia partnered with One Hope, so we brought that in for 2 years now. We've been busy doing groundwork. End of last year, we went on a scout mission trip. Your pastor was with us on that trip. We went to see the regional director of the Kavango East region. That was just the one region. Went into that meeting, came out of that meeting less than an hour later, and the regional director said to us, you can have the entire region, access to all the schools in that region, 60,000 kids. And then it's that moment when you think, oh God, what did we do now? You know the story about the dog and the car? It's this thing, the dog got the car, but you don't know what to do with the car now. We got to perform almost in a way, or deliver. And anyway, so long story short, we went back just last week with a team there, and we started training the grade one teachers of that entire region. I think it's more than 170 schools, 60,000 kids, 9,000 grade ones, and almost 200 teachers that we trained, give them material, and we reach close to 9,000 grade ones in that entire region. That's just one region. So we are completely overwhelmed by the need that's out there, people. If Jesus says, and Jesus said that back then, and I'll tell you what, it's still the truth today, that that the harvest is truly ripe, but pray for the laborers, pray for us, pray for people, that people will be willing to go. Man, I understand that scripture more than ever. We would love to take on so much more, but we haven't got enough people. That's just the bottom line of it all. So we got to build this out to something bigger than just us, partnering with other churches, partnering with other people as well in groups, so whatever. And this is just, you know, something on the side here, but I'm saying this to you that God is working out there. Sometimes we sit in our little, I want to say, bubble. We go Sunday to Monday, we go through the same thing over and over. But when you get out of that place and you literally go to a different place and you see what God is doing there in our own country, you are overwhelmed. You come back from such a trip, and I really want to encourage you. You guys, I think, doing the Katima one a little bit later. We went there to see the regional director as well. And it's just amazing, 30,000 kids in that region. Imagine that the government of today, listen, it's rare. We spoke to the leadership of One Hope in Southern Africa. You know? We're talking about all the other African countries. They say to us, you don't understand what you've just done or what God has done there by opening up a door like that. You know, if we don't feed, somebody else will come and feed them. And the amazing thing is we had literally enough resources to put something in the hand of every child. To put it even in bigger perspective, we have enough resources to put a book in the hand of every child in Namibia. But we haven't got enough laborers. So pray with us. You know, this is tremendous times when God just gives us amazing opportunities. But I believe, you know, it's not going to come just by working, if I put it that. Paul writes to Timothy and he says, work hard, diligently. So did you know that the kingdom is work as well? It's not just coming to church. I was just touched again this week when I read that, when Paul says to work hard. You got to work hard. People preach, now you can't work in church. No, you got to work hard to get out there. But before we work and before we labor and all do all those kinds of things, I honestly believe in something that God started changing in our hearts and busy with us in a journey. It all starts, and we were singing that song, bowing our knees. Getting to that place of ultimately acknowledging it starts with you, Lord. Nothing that we're going to do or ever will do or everywhere we will go cannot start from a place of, oh, I just want to do something great for God. I just want to build this. I just want to go there. It needs to start on our knees from that place of intercession, from that place of prayer. And about 2 years ago, the Lord started with us on a journey about our own prayer life, my own prayer life, us as a congregation, but I also believe for us as a region as well. Because God never does stuff in isolation. And He started with us in this journey with prayer. And what happened is we had some people there that came to visit, and many of you, some of you probably saw that, were there. And it left us with some form of impartation and something to do. This is the thing, when you go to a conference, when you have a speaker, it's great to do that, but it always leaves you with some homework if you're serious about this. That's why it's sometimes dangerous to go to too many conferences, because you get homework every time if you're really serious about this. I was joking to some of the other pastors because they invited me to this African Enterprise anyway conference at the end of this year in Nairobi. And it's great. You can say yes to all of those conferences, but again, you got to perform after that or deliver. because you are handed some form of impartation, and you decide what you want to do with it. Anyway, so coming back to our prayer time, and we sense God is busy with us, and that, you know, so the person left, and we had to do certain things, ask ourselves, what now? What are we supposed to do? So we started praying as elders more regularly, from 1 to 2 times a week, etc. But a more personal note, I just sensed that there was a bigger urgency in my life to pray more than ever before. At the same time, things were speeding up, and as you speed up, you know, I've always wondered why people would say, especially I looked at many people that's gone before me, they say the busier I become, the less I cannot afford to pray. I have to pray even more, and I'm like, God, but this is like feels like two opposite poles against one another. Where do you get the time for that? But long story short, you realize that you need to pray to get through this in order to get there. And I would literally come out of intercession sessions on a Tuesday morning, and I still have an urgency to pray after we've prayed for an hour. Now, I know not all of us have that flexibility, and et cetera. But I would drop off the kids, and then I still have this urgency. And I sense that the Holy Spirit wanted me to obey that spontaneous invitations of Him. And listen here, you don't have to be in full-time ministry to obey the spontaneous moments of the Holy Spirit. It can happen at various times. And I literally had to drop off the kids at school and then just go for a walk next to the sea. But you can't go here anywhere. There's so many beautiful places. Just be spontaneous. Just obey the Holy Spirit spontaneously when He's asking you. And I would just pray and pray and pray till that burden lifts. And then it would happen again and again and again. But here's the thing, God is with us in a journey. And I realized there's something He's teaching me. He's sustaining me, He's sustaining us, He's teaching us. But then at the same time, I would get a little bit of, I couldn't understand when you start speaking to people and say, listen, I sense that God is saying to us, pray more. There's something about our prayer life that needs to change. I believe that God is going to take us to a place that literally where we run out of our own gifting, where we rely so much upon our own gifting that nothing happens anymore. And God wants you just to get to that place and say, listen, this, all I want you to realize is you cannot do it on your own. You need me. And God has given each one of us specific gifting. And listen, it's possible this morning to operate on a certain level within your gifting, even fool people, without having an effective prayer life. The body has seen that too much. Anyway, so it kind of, I don't want to use the word annoyed, frustrated, I don't know, maybe frustrated, that I would sometimes wonder, God, why doesn't this thing sink in? It's like the harder you talk, the louder, it's almost like people doesn't understand. Listen, God is saying to us something here. And if you don't get this key, this is what my words, if we don't get this specific key, you're going to struggle for other doors. This is a key God is giving us right now about our prayer life. We got to fix this. We got to figure this out. We got to step up to the next level. Sometimes as we grow, you know, something works up to a certain level. And God says, your aware has run out, almost in a way. You got to upgrade now. It's almost, I've got this iPad. This is maybe a better example. Just think about it. Now, my iPad, it doesn't take iOS. It's iOS 9.3 point something. And I wanted to download an app the other day, and it says, no, you need iOS 10 or 11 above. So I wanted to upgrade, but this mini iPad of mine, it can't upgrade to that. That means I'm forced to buy a new iPad or stay with this one with limited capacity, limited ability. And God says, if you want to go to the next level, you'll have to upgrade. You can stay in this level. Sorry, it's a long introduction, but I'm getting passionate about this. But the fact of the matter is, could it be, can I have some, there's some water. Could it be that our understanding of theology is wrong about prayer, and that's maybe the reason why we don't pray as regularly, we don't get the information or the message? You've heard that saying that say you just know enough so that it's dangerous. You heard that? People sometimes, we know just enough, and that little that you know is just enough for it to become dangerous. I think sometimes our theology about prayer is just enough for us to be dangerous. What do I mean with that? You talk about the word of theology. It means theos and the other part, logia, okay? Logia. Theos and logia. Theos means God, and logia means subject, okay? So people say, what is theology? Okay, working definition would be the study of God. If you heard that before, people say theology is the study of God. I'm going somewhere. So bear with me. I have to lay a foundation here. Okay, and then there's the, that's a working definition. But the literal definition of theology is the subject, the study of the subject of God. Now, when you study the subject of something of God, you got to study His character, His attributes, in order to understand God. Okay? We talk about the attributes. Who is God? We got to study His attributes. And when we study, there's specifically two attributes that I want to talk on this morning about God that will probably, because we misunderstand those attributes of God, it causes us to pray less rather than to pray more, actually. And the first one that I want us to look at this morning is the sovereignty of God. Now, there's a huge misunderstanding in the body about that. People say, yeah, you know what? God does whatever He wants to do, and it doesn't help that we pray. You know, He's anyway going to do. And we blame a lot of the tragedies in life upon the sovereignty of God. Amen? You're very quiet. Can I just get an amen that I know you're all awake? Huh? You just have to understand God is sovereign. He's going to do whatever He wants to do. And that's not what He means. We misunderstand that. It doesn't mean that. And we blame a lot of the stuff in this world, often tragedies, that, hey, this is God. God is sovereign. He's just going to allow this. But let's look at the word sovereign. I haven't got it. Oh, well, it's down there, up there. If you break that up in two parts, the first part, S-O-V-E, and the second part, forget about the I-T-Y at the end. Sovereign. Sov means, listen, supreme. And reign means what it says, reign. Supreme reign, okay? I want you to take note of it. And it doesn't mean this morning that God does whatever He wills. No. It means that God is in some complete, supreme reign, complete authority. He's still in complete authority. He's got supreme reign over the earth. But the problem is, He gave us, Adam and Eve, stewardship, and they lost it. Here's the thing. Turn with me to Jeremiah this morning, 32. I want to show you something here. And what we're going to do is, I'm just quickly going to share with you, because we're going to pray a little bit later. It's our day of this week is our week of prayer and fast. So we start today up to Wednesday, where all our churches across the nations, I want to say, and wherever they are, join. So it's such a great privilege for us to do that together as a church family. And what we're going to do this morning, we're going to look at the historical exegesis and also at the messianic exegesis. If you heard about that word exegesis, it just means to draw it out. When you prepare something, when you read scripture, you literally draw that out of scripture. So there are various ways how you can look at the interpret scripture, how you can look at that. Some is historical, some of that is geographical, some of that is cultural. But this morning we'll just look at the historical quickly and the messianic exegesis around Jeremiah 32 verse 8 to 11. I think it's up here. Then Hanamel, my uncle's son, came to me, and he came to this to Jeremiah, to me in the court of the prison, according to the word of the Lord, and said to me, please buy my field that is in Anahot, which is the country of Benjamin, for the right of inheritance. If you got your Bible, see, you need to keep note, take note of that. The right of inheritance is yours, and the redemption. You can underline those two. The inheritance and the redemption is yours. Buy it for yourself. Then I knew it was that this word was of the Lord. So I bought the field from Hanamel, son of my uncle, who was an Anath, and weighed out to him the money, 17 shekels of silver. And I signed the deed and sealed it, took witnesses and weighed the money on the scales. So I took the purchase deed, both that which was sealed, take note of that, according to the law and custom, and that which was open. Okay, want to help you on the historical, what's happening here. Jeremiah talks about the right of inheritance and the right of redemption. Then Jeremiah also talks about an open deed and a sealed deed, an akta, a whoop akta and a two akta. Paul, you man that works with that stuff. Okay, it's different from what we are used to. I want you to see this. And if you understand this, it's gonna help you hopefully to pray differently. So what's happening, most probably, his uncle came to him, or his uncle's son came to him and said, buy this back from me. So what most probably happened is Jeremiah was the firstborn son. And when his father passed away, the family sold their piece of land to their uncle so that they could get money to live from. Okay? You with me? Okay? I don't know whether the father didn't leave them with a lot, but the fact of the matter is his uncle was in possession, listen, of the open deed. So what would happen in those days, when they had a deed, they have a closed deed and an open deed. The closed deed will always belong to the family that whose it was. In other words, in this case, it was the Jeremiah, whatever their surname was. It was their families. They would have the closed deed. Mm-hmm. And then they also would have an open deed that in case they want to sell the property, they would write on that property the name of the new owner and give it to them. Amen. But then there's also a right of inheritance and a right of redemption. Okay? The right of inheritance always belonged to the family. Okay? So Jeremiah had the right of inheritance because he was the firstborn and was part of this family. So what would happen is when the other family dies or the whom it belongs, it would automatically go back to Jeremiah. But his uncle's son or his cousin comes to him and says to him, listen, Jeremiah, you don't have to wait. You don't have to wait till whenever I die, whoever dies, you can buy it right now from me. And Jeremiah decides to do that. Okay, this is a bit of history here, but stay with me here. This is something beautiful here. So there's an open deed, a sealed deed, the right of inheritance, and the right of redemption. Does it make sense to you? Are you with me? Because if you understand this, you're going to see where this is laying a foundation here. So what does it mean? You say to me, Yaku, what does it mean historically? Let's look at it historically. What God was saying, and remember, the people were taken captive to Babylon for 70 years. And God said, listen, I'm bringing you back into that. I've got the sealed deed. I'm going to bring you back. I'm going to redeem you and bring you back. That's historically what it meant. So there was hope. God was saying to them, there's hope in your future. I'm bringing you back. That's what it means historically. But also, and this is the one I want to get us to, messianically, it was a type and shadow of Christ that was about to come. So here's the thing. Think about the right of inheritance, the right of redemption, the open and the sealed deed. When God created earth and he placed man on earth, he had two deeds. He gave the open deed, listen, he gave the open deed to Adam and Eve, but he kept the sealed deed. I'm still in supreme. So he gave the open deed to Adam and Eve, and we know what Adam and Eve did. Huh? They sold it, or they lost it, let me put it this way, to Satan. The open deed, but God kept the sealed deed. It's going to come back to me anyway, but he didn't wait. They lost it. So Satan comes to Jesus in the New Testament, and when Jesus is tempted in the desert, he says, all authority belongs to me, all the kingdoms of the earth. I want you to notice, Jesus never corrected Satan because he knew that was the truth. Up to that stage, all authority in the kingdoms of earth belonged to Satan at that stage because he was given, the open deed was given to him. Yeah. But then, and this is the good news, Jesus, that's the firstborn, that's got the right of redemption, anything would go back to him anyway, decides to exercise his option to buy that back. The open deed. He says, listen, the right of inheritance is mine. I'm the firstborn son. But I'm not going to wait for earth to be destroyed and all of that so that it would come back to me anyway. I'm going to exercise my option and the right of redemption. I'm going to exercise that. That is what Christ came and he took back that open deed. And now, what did he do? He took that open deed. And the Bible says, you must understand this. He said to us, the church this morning, I give you the keys
are the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bound in heaven will be bound on earth. And whatever you loose in heaven will be loosed on earth. Amen. Huh? Isn't that a reason this morning to say God is still in supreme, and all God is asking us, speak to the supreme reign. Speak to the one that is still in supreme. He gave it to us. Say this open deed. Say it with me. I've got the open deed this morning. Huh? Open deed is with you and me this morning. And the Father is saying, if I can find one man that is willing to partner with me, that's willing to look at me and say, here I am. See, the reason why we need to pray this morning is because we speak to the supreme ruler this morning that gave us the authority, that sent his son, went through all of that, bought it back, redeemed it, gave it to us and said, now you've got it back. After what Satan has done, huh? If my people who are called by my name will pray, I will heal their land. Amen. Amen. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Where's that? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. Isn't it amazing that we can say to one another, we're serving the God that is the supreme ruler this morning. And it's giving us a reason to actually pray and not to hide between a place of, it will anyway happen. Amen. The second thing this morning, or the second attribute this morning, is that immutability of God. You say, what does that mean? What does that word mean? Immutability. It means something cannot change. Okay? God cannot change. We all know that. God cannot change. I mean, am I talking nonsense? God cannot change. Look at Scripture. Malachi 3:6 this morning. Malachi 3 says, for I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Then James 1:17 says this. Can we go to that one? Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes from down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. There is this misunderstanding. People say, well, God never changes, you know, so why pray? But it doesn't talk about his mind. He talks about his attribute. God can't change his character. That's what he says, that scripture. But he's not talking about God's mind here. And I want you to see what happens. So Moses is up in the mountain, that famous scripture, and the people, Alemak Druch. When Moses up on the mountain tried to get the 10 commandments, God says to Moses, listen, Moses, get down there. They're busy with the wrong stuff. They're building a golden calf there. I'm going to destroy them. I'm going to wipe them, and I'm going to start over, and I'm going to use you, and we'll start over. And Moses gets down there angry, and he starts praying. This is the amazing thing. Moses starts interceding for the people after God is angry. Now, I want you to notice, God said, I'm going to destroy them. You would think that God would do that because God said. Nothing is going to change. If God said it, he was going to do it. I mean, would you agree with me? We all said, when God said it, he's going to do it. I'll show you a little bit later about that, about the word of the Lord and the Lord of the word. But here's the thing. Moses starts to intercede. As much as the people were sometimes frustrating, frustrated him. He loved that people so much. So he presented them before God and said, God, don't do that. The nations of this world, you will mock us. What would the nations of this world think that you brought us out of that place and now to die in the desert? And after Moses interceded, look at this. Exodus 32:14. So the Lord relented from the harm which he said he would do to his people, which he said he would do, relented. People, we need to get this. Look at that word relented. If you change one letter, amen. What does it change to? Repented. Because some translations talk about repented. Now you say to me, Yaku, you can't change letters like that. That's fine. I get that. But here's the thing. That word repented, many people say, what does repent mean? I mean, you heard about speakers or teachers or preachers talk about repent. What does repent mean? Repent means to turn from your sin, some people have said. Okay? Sin is nowhere in that word. Sin is nowhere in the word. I mean, it's great we turn from our sin, but that's not what repent means. If you look at the word repent, 108 times it appears. I want you to listen to this. 108 times it appears in the Old Testament. 41 times of that, it's translated, repent. Relent or that Hebrew word is translated 41 times, repent. That's why I say you can change it in a different context here. And repent in this case just means this. Listen, it means to change your mind. I repent. I change my mind. I'm not going to go this direction. I mean, think about salvation. I change my mind. If you look at the Greek, the similar Greek word that's used, metanoia, it means to change the way, and it's in the New Testament, to change the way you think. Think about Romans 12 verse 2. When we serve this, God says, no, you've got to change your mind. You can't go down this track. You've got to change your mind, make 180 degrees, and go in a different direction. That's what the word means here. Relented, repented. So can you see, when we pray, God is just waiting for one man to do business with him. God said it, I'm going to wipe him. But because it wasn't Moses, one man. People, I don't think we see the odds. One man versus between 3 to 5 million people on this side. One man changed the mind of God. Amen. Caused God to say repent. Amen. To change the way he would think. It happens in Scripture again. Jonah. We know the story of Jonah. God says to Jonah, Jonah, go to the people of Nineveh. Jonah runs away, the fish and all of that. And then Jonah eventually gets to the people of Nineveh. And he preaches for 40 days. And God said, I'm going to wipe them. Listen, God said, I'm going to wipe them. So Jonah preaches. And what happens? Oh, the people repent. The people repent. And I want you to see this. This is amazing. This is a beautiful scripture. This is now after Jonah preached, after God said, listen, I'm going to wipe you. Done with you guys. Jonah preached and said, God is going to destroy you. You got to giving them a hellfire and brimstone sermon there. And Jonah walks away. And then the people graciously repented. And now look at this. Jonah 3. Verse 10. Then God saw their works, that they turned from the evil way, and God relented. Where's that word? Yeah, over there in the middle. I didn't know that. God relented from the disaster that he said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. You think Jonah would be happy about this? And Jonah said, God, I knew it. I knew it. You're sending me to this people. I know you're asking me to go and preach. And I knew that beforehand because you're a gracious God. When I'm going to preach and they're going to listen to you, they're going to repent. And I know you are God. It cannot change your character because you're a gracious God. You're going to say, okay, so sorry. I hear you. This is the reason this morning for us to pray, because God is a gracious God. And Jonah knew that. You think he would be... But he knew God that well. He knew if he preached to this, sometimes you're so angry. And Jonah knew that. This is the God I serve. If the people's going to hear, man, think about it, about our God, how gracious he is. He's waiting for us. And what happens? Then Jonah goes into the desert. And he sits under that tree, and well, God caused a plant to raise, to grow overnight there, literally in one day. And then he sends this worm, and the worm kills the plant. And then, you know what? Jonah's just there in a depro. Some of the words that he said would come true. Listen, he preached to the people. He preached to the people and said to them, oh, God is going to wipe you. God is going to do this all. And God didn't do that because God's character is gracious. So here's the thing. Remember what I said about the word of the Lord and the Lord of the word. Listen, all words of the Lord are submitted to the Lord of the word. God can literally cause you to say something. People can repent and God will have grace in that person. Just because you said it doesn't mean it's going to happen. I want you to say it. Even though you spoke from God. Because all words of the Lord are submitted to the word of the Lord. We got to understand that one. And that's exactly what happened to Jonah. So Jonah's down there, the prophet. Now, he didn't have any. So, I'm the only one. And sitting under this, feeling sorry for himself. And then God says to Jonah, listen, Jonah. You're angry about this plant that you didn't anyway create. You just sat there. I brought the plant. You know what? You're so angry. Don't you think I'm more angry or more disappointed about 120,000 people that is about to die that I created Don't you think I feel different about them than you feel about the stupid plant, I want to say? That's how God feels. About the people, about this nation. And Tuesday morning, we shifted direction in our intercession. Now, since the end of last year, I think I told you guys, we went from one prayer meeting to five a week, literally every morning. And we shifted the way we pray and just focusing on this nation. We started praying just for rain and repent and a lot of stuff and all of that. We went through that. Then about 3 weeks ago, we heard the Lord said, I heard your prayers. You can stop praying. This is before this big rain came. Lord said, I heard your prayers. Stop praying. You don't have to ask me. I'm going to do it. And well, this is a different thing when you hear the Lord that. Then you got to step out in boldness and like, okay, God, I'm saying to the people, God said, it's going to rain and you don't have to ask anymore. I heard your prayers. You don't, and I've seen between the time when God said, I'm going to do it, there's a gap between that and the manifestation of that actual thing. And it causes us to walk in faith in that time, to stand upon God's word. See, this is something God is teaching us in the sessions. Anyway, so now we're in this phase of just trying to figure out, God, what are you saying to us? Where's the new direction of what we need to pray for? And the Lord started speaking to us about the spiritual barrenness of this nation. It's so spiritually barren, which probably would lead to a revival in terms of praying around that. But you know what? You've got to take that piece by piece. And then on Tuesday morning, I'm driving to intercession. I'm like, God, where do we start with praying specifically in this direction? The Lord said, because here's the thing, we start firing off. We start running, and we are so frustrated with the fish rot. We're so frustrated with government that's doing this and government that's all wrong. None of that stuff is right this morning, I agree. But sometimes we want to pray from a place of frustration and anger. And then there might be godly anger as well, which is also good. But the Lord said, no, I want you to pray from a place of love because I love those people. I want you to bring yourself before me and confess your self-righteousness in your haughty eyes so that you can look at those, I want to say sinners, because God loves those people. And we look at government, and I know people, there's a lot of things that we are not happy with. I get that. And we get to those stuff that God will expose and do what he needs to do. But you know, sometimes we just want to, yeah, I told you, you guys up in the top there, well, let's just take you out. Let's just use our prayer as a weapon almost, and we want to shoot them, and we don't love them. And God said, no, you're not going to do it that way. God will do that eventually if he needs. But we need to love our people. See, God still loves those people. But if they repent tomorrow morning, there's consequences. Yes. But he loves them. So the reason this morning, as I close, to pray is because God is immutable. He's a gracious God. Amen. He's a kind God. He doesn't change his character. He's a loving God this morning. As Jonah saw that, and Jonah knew that, he's a merciful God this morning. And all God says this morning, like he said to Ezekiel, if I can find one man, so I sought for one man, just one man, that would reason with me. But I found no one. People, I really sense that God is challenging us. I mean, my own prayer life, he's challenging us to step up to a next level. I want you to think about this for a moment. We're just going to watch the video clip in a moment, but for our prayer and fasting, we're going to pray this morning. But to conclude here this morning, I want you to go home this morning and think about your own prayer life. Maybe your way ran out ago, and you're still surviving on crumbs. But if you want to go up to the next level, you got to give God more to work with. Sometimes it's time. Sometimes it's just being obedient to the spontaneous moments of the Holy Spirit in your life. I found that was with me the case, because we have our structures and places and things that you have to do. I sat in this past week in. I went for a haircut, and then it's opposite one of the shops there that one of you guys referred a guy in that shop to connect with me, and I was in and out. We never connected, and this guy is a workaholic, but I don't want to share the details, but he wanted him to connect with church and etc. And I sat there, and as I'm
as I finishing up, and I had an hour and a half between the next appointment, but I had my laptop with me, and I had so much admin to catch up on, and I was like, okay, I'm going to sit at that coffee shop and just catch up on my admin before I have my next meeting. And I sensed the Holy Spirit said to me, now go walk over there and just go and have a coffee with that guy. Amen. It's amazing. Anyway, long story short, what happened to that spontaneous moment in the Holy Spirit, just obeying the Holy Spirit. Yes. I mean, I still had the the pressure of doing the work, but what is more important is obeying the Holy Spirit. And when it comes to prayer, it's the same thing. It's just obedient to the Holy Spirit. Here's the thing. God leads us into those places. We don't have to do that on our own. You don't have to start here, start doing something in the flesh. It's just, God, here I am. It's amazing, eh? When we just want to. It's not you don't have to create something, try and please God with God. Now I'm going to pray 3 hours because I want to become a better prayer warrior. No, it's just, God, here I am. Start with my prayer life. You know what? That still small voice will just come and say, okay, Paul, can we go? Danny, can we go quickly? Aside. Sometimes it's a 10 minutes. Sometimes it's a 15 minutes. Sometimes it's more. Or sometimes you would put somebody in your heart and say, just, you need to pray for that person right now. But not just individually. People hear this. Also corporately. If we're not going to get to that place where we pray corporately, there are some things we're always going to miss. Your prayer life is always going to be fractured because you understand only a certain part of that. Your prayer life cannot just consist of your individual prayer. There's a place for corporate prayer in your life. And for you to grow to spiritual maturity, you've got to have both of them. And I want to encourage you this morning. Go home. Have business with God. Say, God, what are you saying to me this morning? Because no matter where God is taking you, I'm not being a doom prophet for ochanti, but you're going to run into a wall eventually. And then you're going to be stuck and say, I'm looking for a key, but this one that I used to use is not opening those doors anymore. God said, I told you back then, you got to figure this out. I gave you some new keys, but you never learned to use them. I'm so excited about prayer. I'm so excited to see what God is doing in prayer, you know. It's become, I don't want to even say the word weapon, it's become something that I live from more and more. The more busy I become, the more I realize I cannot go without it. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning, Lord. That God, that you never leave us, never forsake us, Lord. And this morning, Father, that you invite us, Lord, to come and sit with you, Lord. So, Father, it's my prayer for every individual here this morning, Lord. Our God, that we will respond to those spontaneous moments of your Holy Spirit inviting us into your, into business with you, to talk to you. Yes. Father, my desire is for every person this morning that we will hear your beautiful voice. Oh God, how precious is your voice when you speak to us. How privileged we are this morning, Lord, to hear your voice. And Father, I pray for each and every one that we will treasure every word that we hear from you, Father. We'll never become so used to things that we hear and sense, Lord. But Father, that we would treasure those, that we would steward all those words, Lord, when you speak to us. And Father, I pray for our obedience in the Spirit, Father, that when you speak to us, Lord, that we will find the grace to walk in that, Lord. Father, I pray for our corporate prayer gatherings as well, Lord. Lead us to those fresh places and the places that you want to teach us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to look at the clip that we show to all our churches across all our other churches. Heinrich would be sharing on that.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.